Anyway, today is Mother's Day, and I do love being a mother. I was telling a lady here this morning, I still can't believe he's mine. I feel like I'm the nanny, and one day I have to give him back, but I don't have to. He's all mine. I've been an auntie for so long, it's really nice to be a mom now. And I love, don't you just love the way your children look at you? Like, I'm the most beautiful person in the whole wide world. I just love it. I wish I could capture it and just keep it with me forever. But he has such loving eyes for me. When I'm around, it's just about me, and I love it. I've never had that before. So it's very wonderful. And today, the message is not really about Mother's Day per se, but it is about God's love. So I'm going to show you some pictures. I'm going to take a quick test. Are you ready? Okay. Who in this test exemplifies love? The most unselfish person you know. So ready? Is it your children's teacher? Think about those kindergarten teachers. They really are special. I taught kindergarten 1 year. It's not for me. I think it's the hardest job I've ever had in the world. Is it your pastor, Eric? Now, you don't have to say yes just because, you know, we're here at church and he's your pastor. So the question is, who exemplifies love, right? And being very unselfish. Or is it your children's doctor? This is my pediatrician. Isn't he cool? He wears bow ties and glasses, so this isn't a good picture of him, but I've always wanted to get a picture of him when I'm with him with Moises. But is it your doctor who just takes care of you? And although the letter B should have been your closest choice, I think the most unselfish and the one that exemplifies love the most is a mother's love. And I know, dads, you're going to say, but wait a minute. No, it's true. There's nothing like a mother. Now that I'm one, there's nothing like a mother. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, I'm reading out of the Amplified, if you want to turn there with me or you want to read it on the screen. It says, but we have behaved gently when we were among you. This is the Apostle Paul talking. This is a man of God, the pastor of pastors. And he says, like a devoted mother. He says he is like a devoted mother, tenderly caring for her own children. When I read that, now that I'm a mom, I was like, wow, I get it. I get it, Paul. I know why you were crying and you were telling Timothy you were on your knees and just wanting to see him, because that's what a mother does, right? Miss Carolyn, when your boys come into town, aren't you just the happiest mom in the world? I mean, you just want to have them all close and you want to have them all doing well. And that's how I feel like that's what my mom does for us. She just prays that we all have good lives, that we're healthy, that we're happy in our marriages, and that we're strong in the ministry. And so I know what Paul is saying here. So if you're a dad, or if you're a husband, or if you're a man today, see, Paul said it too, okay? He wanted to be like a devoted mother as well. In Psalm 131, 2, he says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child resting with his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me, composed and freed from discontent. My husband sometimes gets angry, or I think he's upset because Moises could be crying, and you want to give him food, you want to give him milk, you want to give him candy, and as soon as I hold him, he's just like, smiling and happy, and the world is right where it should be. And I think that is so, so neat that even David said here, I'm like that child resting in my father's arms. So Mother's Day makes us think about these moments cherished with our mother. Can you think about your mom right now? Maybe she's not with you anymore. Maybe she is sitting right next to you. That's such a blessing. Just think about that, those times with your mother. Or maybe you can't think of that mom. Maybe your mom wasn't like that. But think of that one person that came into your life that was just like that mother that you wish you had. And we realize all the time, all the money, all the self-denial, all the sleepless nights, all the prayers that they have done. And I've seen it with my own mother. I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. That's my goal. You know, I'm in the self-denial, learning the self-denial phase. I'm not there yet. I lived as a single lady for a long time. So it's really harder for me. I realize it now more than ever that I am a mother. But there is something greater than this. If a mother's love is so special, just think about God's love for us. I really want you to take away God's love with you today, because it's so much bigger than a mother's love. I think the song really touched me. As I was reading those lyrics, I said, yes, God just wants to pour out his love, because that's what we need. But anyway, this love is God's love for the world. You know this love. What does John 3:16 say? Say it. Say it out loud. So many promises in one verse. And the world has heard it over and over again, but they just don't get it. It's a power-packed message there. And now that I'm a mom, there's no way I would give up baby Moises for somebody. Maybe, no? That is hard, to give up your child for the love of people who are evil and ungrateful. But he did it. He did it for us. And Jesus said, no one takes away my life. I give it. I give it to you. And I'll pick it up again. And so it's so wonderful to just think and just really think, own this love that God has for us. Now that I'm a mom, I think about this love so much. I see it in my mom because she helps me out a lot with Moises. And I think, wow, she's just given so much. And she doesn't stop. It's still going. She's like the Energizer Bunny. Still giving out love. And God doesn't stop. I like that word. We sang it, or somebody said it, or in the video it said relentless. A relentless love never, ever gives up on us. Never. Over and over, he's there for us. So today, I'm going to challenge you today. Are you ready? Because I'm talking about God's love, but I'm going to really challenge the church. I'm going to challenge myself. And it's this: would you dare to answer Jesus' prayer? I'm going to dare us to answer Jesus' prayer because he's loved us so much. It's our time to say, yes, Lord, I want to answer what you want. Because you've always looked out for me. What is it that you want? Are you ready? And you think, well, why did Jesus pray? What did he say? Let's read John 17 together. Remember Jesus praying in the garden right before he died? And I'm going to read quite a lot, but you can follow along with us. I'm starting in verse 13, and it says this: but now I am coming to you, and I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may experience my joy made full and complete and perfect within them, filling their hearts with my delight. I have given them your word, the message you gave me, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world. I was going to say something, but I said that's another story. It says, just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them, believers, into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified, set apart, dedicated, made holy in your truth. Here is the challenge for us. I do not pray for these alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever believe and trust in me through their message. Whose message? Our message. He's praying for future believers, and he wants to use you and me. And here is the challenge, that they all may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe without any doubt. I don't know if it says it in there, but it says without any doubt. That's what the Message Bible says, that you sent me. Here is the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us fulfill in order for the salvation message to be received, so that Jesus truly shines above all else. Let us be one. It's not enough to be good. It's not enough to help out. We need to be one. And I think it's really neat, as I look around and I see different cultures and I see different ages, I think we're in the beginning. I think Shiloh has it. But there's more to Shiloh, right? There are other churches. There's Calvary, and there's a Baptist church, and now it's Lifehouse. That's where he changed the name. It's Lifehouse now. And so let us all be one. Not so that we can just have a kumbaya party together, right? It's let us be one so that what? So that they can see Jesus in us, and the message will be received by those who are lost. How many of you have members who have not wanted to receive the Lord? My grandma is 95 and she's praying for her son and daughter to come to the Lord before she passes away. And so that's my deepest desire. And I say, Lord, let her see unity in us. Let us be one with you, you and us, and I and you, so that they may become to you. But I think Jesus' message is getting lost because we're not one yet, right? We need to pray for the church globally. There's people all over the world worshiping Jesus right now. And our desire should be, Lord, let us be one. Everybody, the whole church working together, like you guys worked together yesterday for the tea party. Imagine a big world tea party by every denomination, putting aside every difference and just preaching Jesus. And I think that's what Jesus wants for us today, for this time. And I wrote notes because as Miss Marge was praying, she talked about a shift, right? The shift of the nations is coming. Are we ready? Are you ready for the United States to change? It might change for the better. It might change for the worse. We don't know. Mexico has elections coming up in June. I don't know what's going to happen. We have a president coming up that's a lot like the guy from Venezuela. Imagine Mexico becoming another Venezuela. And I'm living it. And Moises is going to live in the middle of that. And I'm just like, my hope is in you, Lord. I need Jesus to be my rock. I need him to be in me. I need him to shine through me so that doesn't matter what my circumstances are. It doesn't matter what language I'm speaking. It doesn't matter who I'm hanging out with. Jesus is going to shine. And that's my goal. That's what should be our goal. Are we there yet? I don't think so. But God is really moving his church. If the Holy Spirit is telling us that there's a shift coming, and if we, all of us, I think in the room, we might agree, I think Jesus is coming soon. I don't know. The world is getting smaller and smaller, right? Media is connecting us, and we can see things from all over the world, the satellite. I mean, just the knowledge that is coming and expounding. Jesus might be coming soon. And so there might be a shift in the nations. We sang it today, didn't we, as well? Didn't Ryan sing a song about the nations might fall, but your kingdom? So let us be one. Matthew Henry, a great Bible commentary, said this. I'm going to read it slowly, okay? If I'm talking too fast, let me know. The good fruit of the church's oneness. That's the good fruit, oneness. It will be an evidence of the truth of Christianity and the means of bringing many to embrace it. One is, Webster's Dictionary says, being the same in kind or quality, both of one species. Puma and cougar are different names of one animal. So one may be Baptist, one may be Pentecostal, one may be Presbyterian, but let's be one, right? Let's be able to walk in any church and not start, oh, they sing like this. Oh, they take out the hymnal. Oh, gosh. Let's walk into church and be like, yes, I'm with God's people, and we're going to show God's people. I mean, we're going to show people the love of God. Let's really make that our goal. And as mothers and as fathers and as children and as young people, as older people, let's just make that a priority to answer Jesus' call to be one. And not, what's another pastor said? He said, not sacrifice the truth because of unity, right? But that's another story. That's another message. But we can all work in it, right? Can you look at each other and say we can work on being one? Romans 12, 3 through 5. I didn't read the rest of the Webster's, but that's fine. You guys can look it up. Like Miss Larsenia said yesterday, Google it. It's easy. Look up one, the number. Romans 12, 3 through 5 says, for by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of himself. So remember, we're talking about being one, so how do we go about it? Well, number one, don't think highly of yourself. Knock it down a little bit. And of his importance and ability, then he ought to think. But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each of a degree of faith and a purpose designed for service. Every single one of us in here has a place for service. Every single one. No one is discounted. We have a way of looking on the outside, but God doesn't. right? So feel loved by God today, because God has a place for you. And God has a place for me wherever I live with my husband and my baby. And it says here, for just as in one physical body we have many parts. Look at your hand. What's on your hand? Physically. Not the rings, but. So you have fingers. What else on there? Knuckles. What else? Nails. Veins. I'm sweating as I looked over. And I want to give you this crazy fact. I'm one of the few, I'm like 6% of the population, right, Eric? That has their line go all the way across their palm. Yes, we're not going to say what the name of it is, but everybody's usually has a thing that connects. I mean, that has an M, but I have a line that goes all the way across. My mama says I'm special. But see, there's so many things in just your hand. Look at all the things just in your hand. Imagine the body of Christ. It says here, for just as in one physical body we have many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function or special use. My Mexican accent came out. So we, who are many, are nevertheless just one body in Christ. And individually, we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on each other. So I may live far away from my brothers, but I still depend on them. I still need them. They are a part of me. And I want Moises to be a part of them and their children a part of Moises, even though we're far away. So we make that extra effort to stay connected. So I think the first thing that I want us to remember, how do we go about doing this? Number one, let us deepen our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. For it is through Him we will have the victory individually and collectively. It is not by our efforts. James 4:6 says, but He gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. So that's our number one thing. We really need to work on our relationship with Jesus. You know how we go out with coffee with friends and dates with our husbands? Let's do that with the Lord. Let's really make that a priority for the Holy Spirit to have that place in our lives, to help us out, to really depend on Him, not be self-sufficient, not be, you know, in our times they teach women, you can do it all. You know, I have a friend who's an architect and she's a doctor in architecture. And when I graduated from my master's degree, I said, you know, thank God. And she's like, no, not thank God, you did it. I said, no, thank God. Because if I'm smart or if I have any ability, it's because He placed it in me. But she was really upset that I said, thank God. And another story, recently I told my husband, honey, I'm really going to work on just of you being my priority, of me being a submitted wife. You know, I'm really going to try. And he said, no, don't try. It's only going to go long enough, and then you're going to be tired, and then you're not going to do it anymore. He said, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. So I was like, oh, okay. Because that's what happens. We start all fire and then, well, anyway, for me, we have a lot of committed, very diligent, disciplined people in this body, but it's not me. So he just said, just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. So that's my point number one. Let's deepen our relationship. Let's fall in love with the Lord, just how He has fallen in love with us. And it's going to help us be better people by ourselves and collectively as a church body. Number two, you need to find out what your part in the body is and do it. And do it with excellence and encourage others to do the same. As you can tell, my mom raised us all in the same house. We didn't live in separate houses. But we all have different minds. We all think very differently. Of course, you know, I'm a woman, so that it finally took me, I think, 20 years to finally be able to say, gosh, I wish I were a man. Because I really wanted to be a boy. Because I saw how all the things that they got to do. I wanted to play soccer. I wanted to go have camping trips. No, I had to do ballet. I always had to have a chaperone. That's more Mexican culture. But I always wanted to be a boy. And I think finally it's like, you know what? God made me a woman for a reason. And we just got to find our place in the body and be okay with that. Huicho has, my brother Luis, he's the eldest, and he has his giftings. You know, he's very behind the scenes, and he's very lovable, and he's like everybody's best friend. And Eric is very, very the strong, silent type. You know, he's a thinker, and we always say he's like the Joseph in the family. And very different. I'm very loud, and I speak with my hands, and I want to say hi to everybody in the room, and I just want to smile and hug everybody. Hello. So people would ask me, what do you do best in the body? I smile. I think I should be an usher. I just smile at people. That's what I do best. And Jorge, he's like the passionate firecracker. He's the choleric in the family, And even in our theology, we might differ in theology in some things. And I'm like, wow, we were raised by the same mom. How did this happen? It's not like we went to different churches either. But that's just us. We're different. And we have a place in the body, and we really need to do that. The third thing, this is going to be a little bit more work, okay? Because in order to live close together in community, right? Iron sharpens iron. Live a life of forgiveness. You need to cast off every offense. You need to fight this good fight of faith. You need to just shake things off and love people. And most of us are like, well, I'll love them, but, you know, I'm just not going to go near them anymore. That's not love. You know, I can't divorce Eric. I can't say, you're not going to be my brother anymore just because something happened. You know, we make it work. You make it work with your mom. You make it work with your dad. You make it work. And that's how we need to think of each other. Let's make it work. We are family. Okay? Think about Peter and John. I love this story at the end when Jesus comes back, you know, and they already had fish and they had a good meal. And Jesus all of a sudden tells Peter, hey, Peter, guess what? You're going to die. Somebody's going to take you to die. And he's like, oh, okay. All right, that's. Okay, what about John? Can he die too? And Jesus said, what do you care about John? You follow me. And that's kind of how Jesus is telling us. It's like, it doesn't matter what they do. What are you going to do? What's your calling? What's your part in the body? You do it. So just keep Peter and John in your mind. Like, I think with my brothers that they're all very musical, and they play instruments. And I think by the time I was 19, and my mom tried. I went to piano lessons. She tried. She really did. But my teacher, again, Mrs. Sharp, do you remember Fairy Sharp? She was my piano teacher. She would say, Anna, you didn't practice again, did you? I was like, no, I didn't. So she tried. But when I was 19 and I went off to Bible school, I said, you know, how come they get to play instruments? How come I don't? Just because I'm the girl? So I asked my dad if he could let me borrow some money, which I never paid back, but he did let me borrow money to buy a guitar. And I got a book, and I just started teaching myself the chords. I was like, I can do this. I got this. And that's how I started playing, because I just got tired of them seeing instruments and playing them. And Eric is he plays the piano, Holy Ghost led. I don't know how many of you knew that, but he never took classes. He one day just started playing the piano, and he plays amazingly. So one day I sat in front of the piano. I was like, okay, Holy Ghost. Just like Eric. Just like Eric. It didn't work. So I can't be Eric. I can't be Jorge. I can't be Huicho. I can just be me. And in fact, that's what my mom prayed for me as I was coming here. She said, you be you. Don't try to imitate any. Don't try to be Lisa Bevere. Don't try to be Christine Kane. Don't try to be Angela. Just be you. So this is me. And number four, thank you. It's really about letting us love each other and our neighbor. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13. I don't think it's on the slide, but I'm going to read it from this Bible. And at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, 31, right before it goes into 13, it talks about the spiritual gifts, right? If you've never read 1 Corinthians 12, go in there. It talks about the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. But right at the end, right before chapter 13 starts, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries," imagine you're the one that's going to get up here and teach Revelation, and you're going to teach the book of Daniel, and what's another great book like that? Ezekiel. That most of us are like, "Oh, okay, one day I'll know." "And all the knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs." Take that list. Throw it away. "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails." We read it in weddings, but it really takes this kind of love to keep a marriage strong and beautiful. No record of wrongs, nothing. "No, honey, remember that time that you said, mm-mm." No record of wrongs. When I am in a fight with Rodrigo, an argument, I tell myself, don't bring up anything from the past. It's what is right now. Because we really need this kind of love. And we practice it in our marriages. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. We practice it every day. Or if you live with your family or you live with roommates, you're practicing this. And now we just got to extend it to everybody here in this room. And I really want us to take this in. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26 says this: "But God has combined the whole body, giving greater honor to that part which lacks it, so that there would be no division or discord in the body, that is, lack of adaptation of the parts to each other, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another." Are you feeling challenged? The same concern for everybody. No favoritism. When my daddy was a pastor, we had to come in through the back. Something happened to our front door, so we always had to walk around the back. And one of my friends was an usher. But because I got there early, I thought, I can always go in that door. But she was already there ushering. So when I try to walk in and I open the door, she's like, "No VIP. No VIP." All the way around. Like, okay, you're right. So I always think about her, because she's very like, nope, everybody's the same. "But that the parts may have the same concern for one another, and if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering." Imagine if we really did what we read here. One pastor said, "Why are you praying for God to give you a word for today? Are you doing what the word says already?" And so it's a challenge. I mean, think about it. We're meditating on these things that Paul is saying. If all the parts share the suffering, it's going to go better. If one member is honored, I'll rejoice with it. And I think of that with my mom. When Eric is honored, you know, she cheers on. When Jorge is honored, she cheers on. When Wicho is honored, she cheers us on. And when I'm honored, she cheers us on. And I think that's the same thing we need to do with everybody in the body. Right? That love just extending. And what's the purpose for that love? It says so that we can be one. And then what's the purpose of that? So that his message is received on the outside. That's the point. I know it seemed like I was rambling, but it does all connect. That love helps us be one, and that oneness helps us share the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in turn is coming back soon. And we don't want anybody left behind, right? You don't want your auntie, your grandpa, your grandma, your children. You don't want them left behind. We really need to really think about why we come to church every Sunday. It's to get filled up so we can go out there and serve. It's not a group or a recovery group or a party. It's not a social club. We have a purpose. We're purpose-driven. And then It says at the end, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says this, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. In the Message Bible, it says love, unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. So if we want to be, think of that devoted mother, and it's like, I need to be that for everybody. Jesus ends his prayer like this, John 17:25-26. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has never acknowledged you and the revelation of your mercy, yet I have always known you, and these believers know without any doubt that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them. And in the Amplified says, overwhelming in their heart, and I may be in them. We all need to fulfill this prayer. We have his love. Let us freely give what we have received. Today, I really want us to pray for our family members who are not saved. Maybe you're a mom and you've been praying for your children for so long. I can't even imagine what it would be like if Moises one day decides not to follow Jesus. It would just break my heart. Maybe he wants to be a painter. Maybe he wants to be a chef. I would support him on that. But imagine if he says, Mom, that Jesus stuff, that's for you. That's not for me. I can't imagine. And so I know what you must be feeling if you're a parent and you've been praying for your children for so long. Or maybe you're the child and you've been praying for your parents, because they don't understand this life that you have chosen. So can we stand? I don't know, maybe if that's you, if you want prayer specifically to pray for your children, please come up. Let us pray for them. You have chosen the best. You have chosen to be the follower of the Lord. And he is going to be faithful in answering your prayers. Your children are going to come to the Lord, because the Bible says that you and your family shall be saved. That's what he told the prison guard. He said, you and your family will be saved. And he didn't doubt. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just cry out to God. He promises to hear us. He says his ears are not deaf to his children. Father, I pray that today that shift would happen them, as Marge is talking about, in families, in my family, God, that this week my uncle and his family and my aunt and her family would have just an encounter with you, Jesus, by their bedside, that they would see you like never before, that the scales would fall from their eyes, Lord God, that just all those chains would fall, even the chains of goodness and even the chains of being a good person, God, that people will be able to know that we need a Savior. And I pray for all the children that haven't come to the Lord. I pray that you will speak to their hearts. Holy Spirit, you are the only one that can convince them. You are the convictor. You are the comforter. So I pray right now, wherever they are, in the States or somewhere else, where they're, if they're deployed somewhere by the military, that they would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that they would know in their hearts, that they would cry out to you, Jesus, that you would do this for each family in this place and for those extended outside. I pray for parents who don't know the Lord as well, children who have cried out for the salvation of their parents, Lord God. We live in a Christian nation, but still people don't know you, Father. So we pray that that knowledge would become a reality, that that word that has been preached so long would open up in their hearts, and that seed would take root, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, hear the prayers of your people. Know that our hearts are to love one another, to be one, but we are just so broken sometimes, or so selfish. Help us, Lord God. Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us this most excellent way to walk in it every moment, to breathe it in and to breathe it out. Thank you, Lord God, because you are so good. You are so good. Let us know that how good you are, God, even in the trial, even through sickness, that we may know that you are good. You are a good Father who gives good gifts to their children. Just like a devoted mother, you're even better than that. Thank you, God. We love you, God. Do this in Jesus' name. We want to praise you. Thank you, Lord God.